Welcome to Coffee Calm Connections Podcasts with your hosts, Sarah and Stuart. You'll hear from people like us, people like you, and together we'll find ways to make personal development easier and more accessible. Happy Monday morning, Alistair. Thank you for joining me today on Coffee Calm and Connection. So, we have spoken before. We've done podcasts together before. Yeah. And one thing that has always struck me about you, which I'm really grateful for, is your understanding of sort of the mental element of the human.
Yeah.
What I thought was really would be really interesting is a conversation about 2022 specifically, because we both had some not dissimilar challenges that kind of floor you and you've got to rebuild again. So if you're happy, do you want to give us a bit of an intro as to who you are and what 2022 held for you?
Absolutely. It's one thing, we both are as humans, and hopefully the people listening to this podcast are also humans. Look, 2022 was a real mixed year, frankly, for me. Some really fantastic highs and again, as you referenced in the introduction, some challenges, which I think over the, if you need to take the period of the last 3 years that we've gone through COVID, I think we're acutely aware that everybody has challenges that impact them at different times of their lives, or for that matter, different times of a particular year. So 22 for me started with some health issues, on the back of COVID and the vaccine, a couple of blue light trips to hospital with a suspected heart attack. It wasn't a heart attack, I'm pleased to say, but I had, I've had some sort of some elongated health issues through 22 that at times have stopped me doing the things that I love to do, playing hockey, running, going to the gym. I still have some of them sort of lingering now, but in the first kind of 3 or 4 months of last year, I had some real issues. Couldn't go up the stairs without needing to lie down, that sort of stuff. Combined with that, some other personal issues that were impacting me. So it was a real kind of roller coaster and a real kind of realization on a couple of things. Realization, apparently I'm not invincible. And apparently I can be affected by things, which is on the one hand slightly frightening, on the other hand is reassuring because it makes me a human. And on the other hand is, how important a support network is around you. And that support network comes in many, many different ways. The importance of talking to people, the importance of having a group of people that you work with on a daily basis. I'm very privileged that the team I have around me at Broader Marsh, but also particularly in the commercial and corporate business that I look after, are brilliant. They're all humans. We support each other whilst still being very focused on what we're trying to achieve. So I had all those kind of things. Then you overlay, trying to run a successful business, which, fortunately we did in 22 and we had a good year. I took on a bigger business from September, where we brought our commercial and corporate business in March together. So a business that went from me being responsible for about 600 colleagues to about 2,500 colleagues. Again, it's been is a roller coaster because you're learning as you go. But again, as I sit here about 14 weeks after taking on that broader responsibility, really positive mindset, but fully aware that there'll be some bumps as we go. But 22 was a real, on the back of the kind of difficult couple of COVID years where life was just a bit average because you were being locked down and what have you. Yeah, I came into 22 not in my finest fettle, shall we say, but it's been a real kind of, it's been a great year of learning, frankly, for me, about myself, about the challenges around ensuring you have mental wellness. I don't particularly like the phrase mental illness. I think it's about looking after our mental wellness, and that will fluctuate depending on things. And then having that realization that you're a human. And I know that sounds a bit glib, but I think at any given time you can get affected by stuff. And it's sometimes the stuff you don't think you'll be affected by or that you can't see coming. You know, I'm 48, almost 49, but not quite. So I'll stick to 48. I think that's still technically mid 40s. And I've never been ill. I'm not an ill person. So it's not something I've ever had to sort of mentally think about. And 22 gave me a sense of mortality and the fact that you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So what are we going to do today to make today good?
I like that. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. So what are you going to do today? I had a similar 2022 with health issues. I am 39. I was 38 when I had a stroke. And again, it's this facing the mortality. But also for me, and I'd be really interested to hear your perspective on this. For me, I've had to work really, really hard on recognizing that almost subconscious underlying fear that seems to be with me every second of every day, that I am ill. I'm going to have another stroke. I'm definitely not going to make 40 or 45 or 50. Yeah. And so every time I went to the gym this morning and I got a stitch during burpees and kettlebell swings. Now, my initial thought was, this is probably a heart attack. This is probably death.
Yeah.
And I have to work really hard on that because it is really debilitating. I wonder if you've experienced any of those sort of similar panic moments, I suppose, and how do you deal with them?
The short answer is yes, I have, right? And I think, and it's the battle between your conscious and your subconscious mind. And that's not always easy, because the logical sort of version of you says, well, it's not a heart attack. In your case, I've just been doing burpees and kettlebells. It's a stitch. but the subconscious mind has a layer of, are you sure? And it's that. So I think I'm a talker. You may or may not have guessed.
Me too.
And I have two or three people that I call when I feel like that and go, this is how I'm feeling. And they go, oh, for God's sake, stop it. So you sometimes need someone to snap themselves out, snap you out of it. And I have one very good friend of mine who I've known for 30 years. And I ring him and he quotes the same line to me every time I call him when I say I'm feeling like this. He goes, I've got a first aid qualification. You're safe in my hands. So I think there is that constant sense of, anxiety is probably what it is, an underlying layer that, of course, lots of people have about lots of different things. Mine and yours, based on what's happened in the last 12 months, sits around health. But my logic tells me, and I'm very fortunate with Marsh in that we get offered, company medical every year. They've just had we have lots of little health benefits that come, and you can have blood tests done, you can have all this kind of stuff done, and you do it all. And of course, it all comes back as normal and fine, and everything's fine. So you go, okay. So I get it. And I think, you just have to find ways of, almost embracing it and trying to make sure that your conscious mind overrides your subconscious, but notwithstanding that we all have this. Everybody in the world has a layer of kind of subconscious anxiety about whatever it might be. We only need to look at the situation that we're in right now in the world and cost of living crisis and all those things. That there's level of anxiety in everybody. The key is, how do you cope? And sometimes you get to a stage where you can't, and you need a bit of I need an hour to myself, or I need an hour where I'm, so I play hockey. And for
me, this weekend, I stayed in my pajamas from Friday till Monday. And it was just, I knew all of last week, I just knew I need this. I really need this. And I feel much better today.
And it's that recognition. So for me, it's hockey. So I play hockey, I play slightly old man's hockey, so it's not Olympic standard. But for that hour and a half, you can't think about anything else than where is the ball and where are the other 21 men carrying sticks, because if you think about anything else, you end up getting hurt. So it's a, for me, it's a real good cleanser of the mind.
I like this idea of cleanser. I've got a question for you. One of the things that I think you're very good at, and I was a bit blown away by this the first time we spoke for a different podcast, is you said to me you were working in Asia and you had a very distinct separation between personal and professional life. And there was a key moment where those two things melded, yeah, and it gave you a different perspective. And that's something you've tried to carry forward with, yeah, you. So with that in mind, and I hope this doesn't come across as terrible. So there is a certain demographic of people, which tends to be men in their 40s and 50s, where mental health is a shutdown. It's a non-discussion. And it's one of the biggest areas that a lot of people talk about as being worrying, and how do we open this demographic? So can you talk me through, like you said, you're a talker, I'm a talker.
Yeah.
How is it in that demographic? What lessons have you learned that might help other people who are in a similar position to you? And I'm thinking specifically because you have a very high-powered senior job, you know, a massive company looking after a lot of people, which comes with its own stresses. So how do you manage, and what advice have you got for other people in similar situations?
Well, firstly, I don't think I'm a perfect role model. So, because I'm still learning myself to be able to be kind of open. I think it's about understanding. And I saw it particularly during my time in Indonesia. I became a lot of my work life, because of the nature of the country and the people and the fact that it's very obvious I was a foreigner in that country, because I'm 6'4" and pale. So I stuck out there. Then you come back here, and then you realize, you know, what I noticed through lockdown is you start to see people in their own homes. You start to understand a bit more about their lives. And I've become a lot more open with people as to how I'm feeling. Now, there are times when I'm not, and I think half the time it's an individual battle. Do I feel comfortable saying to someone today, I'm having a bad day. I don't feel great today. I'm much better at it than I was, much better at that. Do I still have days when I'm having a bad day and I don't tell anyone? Yeah, because I don't feel like telling anyone. So I think, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I've got a big job, but interestingly, that doesn't cause me any stress, because I have a great team of people. I work for a phenomenal organization that looks after its colleagues like that. So people, you know, it's funny, you see a doctor and they say, do you have a stressful job? And then you explain what you do and they go, oh, that must be really stressful. I go, no, you know, there's an inherent stress in myself, because I want to do it well. I have a kind of paternal feeling for the people that work in the business. I'm, you know, responsible for giving them a great career, and that comes with a level of stress, but it's not stress that I ever sit there and go, oh, this is unmanageable. My stress tends to come from my outside of work, and, you know, I've got teenage kids, you know, I worry about what they're going to be, how they're going to be, you know, and they are, my kids are in good shape, you know, they're, my son's just doing his GCSEs this year, he seems to be handling them far better than I ever did, and has a big brain, much bigger brain than I do have. So I'm actually, you know, but then there's pockets, you know, they're teenagers, so there's pockets of stress in there. I think you have to realize that you're going to have pockets of stress. And I mean, the phrase, a problem shared is a problem halved, it's true. And sometimes it's either because people can give you advice on it, can empathize with you, or can actually just say, don't worry about it. And I think, you know, there is a, and we, you know, I think we may have talked about this before. We may have talked about, you know, the pressure these days on everyone of having this perfect life. You know, we talked about the impact of social media. You know, nobody posts, I'm having a bad day, I'm in my pajamas. You know, you don't post that. So for me, it's that constant realization and a kind of understanding that life isn't perfect, as much as we want it to be, and stuff's going to happen. And you can deal with it. Everyone can deal with it, but everyone has to find their mechanism to deal with it. And I think we're getting better as the demographic that I sit in at being more open about it. But again, we're all learning, and you know, and sometimes it's things that you don't expect to impact you that impact you. You know, I lost my dad 13 years ago, and he was a legend, my dad. And it's 13 years ago. And you think, wow, that's a long time. But no, but the odd day you'll go, oh, I wish he was here, because I'd like to ask him about this. And he was a man of insurance, so he understands when I've got a question. You've got to find a comfort in the fact that you're not perfect.
Mm.
You have to find a comfort in the fact that you can't be smiley and happy every day. It's just not normal. And you have to find a comfort in being able to say, today's not a good day, but tomorrow will be. And yeah.
Somebody said something to me very recently, and listening to you speak, it's reminded me, and I'm kind of struck by it. She said to me, sometimes, so she has boxes in her head, and she's like, nah, that box is staying shut today. And sometimes she schedules in a time to open that box. So she might say, next Tuesday, when I'm at the gym, when I get on the cross trainer, that's the time to think about that box. And what struck me about it was how structured and controlled that way of thinking is. And one of the biggest things I struggle with is I am very structured and controlled. And at the same time, I am very anti-structure and control. So those two things are like, whoa, stop it. And you sort of talking about the pockets, I wonder what your thought on that kind of structured way of thinking and controlling life is.
Yeah, I mean, arguably, you would probably, I'm a bit of a control freak, you know, but not a sinister one. I like order, because it's just good for me. I've always been that way all the way back. I've always been, I like to be organized. I think I've got better in the last 12, 18, 24, 36 months of going with the flow on some stuff. Despite the fact it's a kind of allergic reaction against it. But I think, you know, I think the challenge is there isn't a solution, a single solution. Everybody's different. Everybody's unique. So you have to find what works for you. And that might be your friend where they have a box and go, I'm going to open it, you know, next Wednesday or whenever it is. Or it might be, I've got to deal with it now. Or there's an element of, I know it's there, I can't deal with it because I can't, you know. And it's back down to that, you know, and it's the same we have in our, you know, as an exec team in the business, we talk about controlling the controllables. How do we control the stuff we can control? Because there's a whole load of stuff, either being, you know, big global business, being part of a large industry, being in the world that we can't control, that may or may not impact us as individuals or as a business. So let's focus on the stuff we can control. Hopefully then we can deal with the uncontrollables. And I think in your own life, there's a bit like that. You and I have had health issues. So it's like, right, okay, am I looking after myself? And there are some days you don't. You eat stuff, you think, I shouldn't have eaten any of this. But again, you're a human. Am I looking after myself? What can I control? Am I getting out to have a walk? Am I taking a break? Yeah, because the danger with Zoom, you know, and we're better now because we're back in the office. I'm in the Bristol office today, so there's lots of fellow humans around. But are you taking a break? Even if it's just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, take a break. So there's elements that you can control. You know, we talk a lot, and one of my leadership mantras is, lead with kindness, but not softness. And what I mean by that is I strive to treat people with kindness because everyone, as we've said, has got stuff going on. Some people are open about the stuff they've got going on. Some people aren't, you know, and as we all get, you know, my demographic get older, it means parents are getting older, which comes with the additional, you know, you've got teenagers coming in. So I think leading with kindness is very important. because your default reaction is to be, okay, let's see, what are there any issues that are impacting this person? Now, the softness bit is we're running a business. I'm running a business, therefore, got to do our job. We've got to grow this business. We've got to look after our clients, all that stuff. That's the non-softness bit. But let's understand the human first. And I think a lot of that really started for me when I was in Indonesia. Because the culture of that country kind of bowled me over a little bit, because it is about belonging to something. We talked about this in the last podcast, I think, about the importance of belonging to something and people feeling like they belong to something. And part of that is having people around them who care. You know, we don't need to go all fluffy about it, but it's having a general care that you are another member of the human race. You know, I'm going to look out for you. And we try and build that into the business where we have this lead with kindness, not softness. So that doesn't mean we have this sort of free for all, but it's important that we understand the individual, because we all are unique, but ultimately we're in a business that's got to deliver results. We've got to grow, you know, all that business stuff.
I like this kindness, not softness. And one of the things that I've been guilty of, but I see as a very widespread issue now, is that those two terms are being very much confused. And a prime example would be, I'm having a bad day. What do I need? Well, I need 3 bottles of wine and a whole cake to myself. That's softness. That's not kindness. Hmm. What do I need? I need to make myself get up and have a shower. I need to drink some water, and I need to walk the dog and be out, and I need to leave my phone at home. That might not be what I want, but it's what I need and what will change my kind of that moment physiology. And I'm interested in these two terms because I do think they're interchangeable in today's society, and they need to not be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I can only talk for myself. And I'm very proud of the business I lead, and I want us to be successful. But it's only successful if we've got happy, healthy, motivated colleagues in it. And at any given time, you know, when I've got 2,500 colleagues, some of those colleagues will be having a bad day. And if you lead with kindness, when they come back to the work tomorrow or next week, they'll be happier, they'll be more motivated, which is good for the business. And it's giving people that comfort to put their hand up and go, yeah, I'm having a bad day today, which is fine. We all have them.
I like the saying, I'm going to butcher the saying because I can't remember it, but it's something like, you can be down in the dumps. Everybody gets there. Just don't unpack there. Like you are coming up again. Can I ask you, do you have, or what's the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you of your personally, have you ever had like that moment of epiphany, that single defining moment that does that little perspective shift and opens a new world for you? I'm going to give you an example of mine, really stupid, really annoys me in my bedroom. When I open my door, there's a bag of socks that are unloved, i.e. I can't find the matching pair, and there's 2 Udis, and it always bounces back and hits me, really irritates me. So sometimes I take the 2 Udis off, and I've got nowhere else for them, and I carry on with life. The other day, my husband took the bag of socks off and put it in a different place, and that had never occurred to me. Like, but it has solved this age-old problem of my door bouncing back. Really stupid thing, but it was like, wow, sometimes you can get so in your own perspective, you just need that shift and it opens a new world. What's your kind of moment that comes to head?
I'm not sure if I have one, if I'm honest. I try and mentally take a step back and have an almost helicopter up and say, okay, let's look at life in its various buckets, you know, love, family, work, money, da 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 da. And you go, okay, of the 8 buckets of life, or whatever, however many buckets you have, how many can I put a tick next to? As, yeah, good, all right, not bad. And then you do that and you go, okay, so I'm actually dealing with one issue. Yeah, for me, it's my health. Or was my health. Okay, so everything isn't bad. It's just this one issue. But in the health sense, there's a phrase that says, but when people are well, they want lots of things. And when people are ill, they only want one thing. Life is never straightforward. There's a brilliant diagram I've got somewhere that I use about our journey as a business sometimes, which is this: here's where we are, here's where we need to get to. And, you know, it's on like a mathematics graph, but there's a pit with some crocodiles in it. And then there's a little bit of a ski lift, which accelerates you up. And then there's some rocks to get over. And that's a kind of metaphor for life. Nothing is ever straightforward, or your life will not be, you know, a straight line from birth to death. There's bumps in the way, and I can't tell people how to deal with those bumps, because only they know how to deal with them, because they're an individual. I'm not, you know, and I know how I deal with them, and sometimes I deal with them really well. Sometimes they leave a bit of a bruise for a while. But nothing is ever permanent. And I think that's, you know, it's difficult because people are always looking for a solution.
And sometimes
there isn't a solution. Sometimes it's time. You know, but with a lot of things like a bereavement, you know, the phrase time is a great healer is to some extent true. But like I said, with my dad, 13 years down the line, I still think about my dad every day. Mm. But it hurts less. One of the analogies I was given was your mental wellness is exactly the same as your physical wellness. So if I go out and run a marathon today, having done no training, tomorrow it's going to hurt. My muscles are going to hurt. You know, I'll be hamstrings, quads, calves, they'll be stuffed. However, if I do a sort of 1K run today, 2K run tomorrow, 3K run the day after. Your mental wellness isn't the fact, it's your recovery time that is the measure. So if an event happens, and it might be something really simple, like you didn't get picked for something, you know, I think about, you know, kids and being picked for sports teams or places in plays, or in the work environment, if you make a pitch for a potential new client and you don't get it, or there's a bigger life event, a bereavement, you know, a relationship breakdown, a health issue. You will be affected by those things every time. Your mental wellness is how quickly you recover from them and get back into that space in the middle. So you'll swing high and swing low. But this chap that I was talking to said to me, yeah, no, you'll swing high and you will swing low all the time. Your mental wellness is how do you get yourself back to the middle? Now, sometimes you'll just get back, you know, some of the trivial stuff happens and you swing straight back to the middle. You know, someone cuts you off in a car, you get grumpy for 2 seconds and you're back level, no problem. A major life event, it might take you a while to get back and you might have to work a bit harder to get back to the middle. But it's that coming back to the middle piece. And that is a personal thing to do. I don't have a solution for me.
One of the things that struck me recently is I've got a MyZone belt. So when I'm at the gym, I can see my heart rate and whether I'm in the blue, green, yellow or red. And what strikes me is my husband's heart rate and my heart rate are so totally different. And I can be in the red and he's barely made the blue, but we're doing the same amount of exercise and we just have different base heart rates. But the measure is how quickly we get back down.
Yeah.
So for me, the mental wellness and the heart rate fitness are yeah. Exactly. I love that analogy. That's my favorite analogy.
I think your husband needs to reset his base heart rate, I think, because I've got a MyZone belt and he just needs to I think he's cheating.
Do you know what? He has all the Bupa cover and he went for his wellness check. And he's brachiocardic. So his base heart rate is about 30, 35 beats per minute, right? And he's not an athlete by any means. He has weight to lose. So we went for a walk together, a dog walk, and we wore the MyZone belts. I got 87 meps. He got 12.
Oh,
same
wow.
walk, same pace, same yeah, everything. Yeah. And he gets really annoyed about it.
I have one of those Myozone belts as well. And I get ferociously competitive with it. Not with other, well, with some other people, because one of the things I do gets put on a screen at the gym. But more competitive with myself to go, well, I ran yesterday and I only did that many MIPS.
Well, I've only just made iron status because I've only had the MyZone belt for 3 weeks. So, and I'm going away in March and I'm desperate not to lose it. So I'm already thinking about the workouts I can take with me because I'm structured and I need to have the control. It's ridiculous. One last thing that I want to ask you before I let you go get on with your very busy day is, you, when we spoke maybe 2 or 3 months ago, you said another thing to me that really resonated, and I've tried it a couple of times. And you said that somebody once told you, don't meditate because that's tricky, just go and lie on the cold floor in the hall.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about that? Tell me why and how it affects you, because I quite enjoy it.
Well, I struggle. You know, everyone said to me, you need to do more mindfulness, because my sort of way of decompressing is active. So it's hockey, it's going to the gym, it's walking the dog, whatever it is. And, you know, the cancer chap I was seeing said, we need to do some still stuff in silence. I'm not a massive fan of silence. I like music, I like the radio, I like a podcast. And he said, no, you need to sit. And if you ask me to meditate, I can't do that. I've tried. Because all I do is sit there and think about work. And he said, yeah, that's not the point. So he said, I tell you what, I've got an idea for you. Go and lie on your hall floor. I was like, really? He said, yeah. He said, because it's hard, it's cold, so you won't fall asleep. He goes, if you go and lie on a bed, he goes, you'll be out like a light. And then, you know, you won't have done any meditation. You just would have had 45 minutes sleep. He said, and lie on the hall floor, try 10 minutes. Well, that's the longest 10 minutes I've ever done. I thought the alarm had broken on my phone, because I've been here for hours. And I think I've been there for 6 minutes. But it works. And it take, you know, and it's like, and it's a bit like when you go to the gym and try and do the plank. You know, you can barely do it for 20 seconds, and then you do it a bit more and you get a bit long. And it's just about that lying there still. And I still lie there and my brain's going, oh, I've got that to do. I've got to ring them. Got to pick that up for the kids. But then after a while, it does tend to dissipate. The other thing I was told, which might make me sound a bit geriatric, but is jigsaws. Again, but in silence, not with music on. And again, I don't know whether it's my competitive spirit, but I've become competitive with myself about jigsaw. Right, I've got to do 20 pieces. But again, it clears the brain. Before you realize it, you're actually not thinking about the other stuff. And, you know, after 15 minutes, you go, oh, right, okay. So I don't do it particularly often, a couple of times a week. It's you know, it's, again, some people might go, I'm not lying on my hall floor, which is fine. But you know, you have to try these things. I mean, be open to it. And some people will go, well, that really works for me. Other people go, it doesn't work for me. I think that's the whole point in this kind of mental wellness piece, is that you've got to find what works for you. There isn't a solution. There isn't a one size fits all for everybody. You know, sometimes the talking therapy, the counseling doesn't work for some people. Okay, so what is it? So I think it's one of those things that we're all battling with our, not battling, we're all striving to be physically fitter. Well, I am. Never quite get to the Olympic levels I think I should get to. But your wellness, your mental wellness is again something that you, whether you consciously or subconsciously, work on it. And sometimes it's particular events. Like I said, you know, 22 for me was tough from a health perspective. I benefited from being part of a very supportive organization. And actually, because of the team around me, I didn't need a huge amount of time out of the office. And actually, I think for me, being out of the office is the brain needs to be active. But I think you just have to find your thing. And sometimes that's a sort of process of elimination. You know, like I say, meditation, yoga, not my thing. But, you know, lying on the hall floor, doing a jigsaw and playing hockey, yes, my thing.
I think it's brilliant. Can I tell you the three resounding things that I feel like I've learnt from you in this conversation? And I think it fits in with the one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I've heard is expectation can often be the problem. So maybe look at what your expectation is. And I love that you're talking about the buckets of life. You know, my expectation is to be perfect, to be 100%, to be this. Just perhaps the expectation is where the problem is and nothing external. So that really resonated from what you've said. The second thing is be open. It doesn't matter what demographic you are. It doesn't matter what job title you have or what your personal circumstances are. Try something different and try it maybe more than once.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really good piece of advice. And the last thing, which always comes across when I speak to you and I love, is just be human. Like, we're all human. We've all got shit going on. Just be human. So yeah. Those are my three takeaways from today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with those. But the key is be human. I think perfection doesn't exist. And I am the worst at going, I want to be perfect in everything. You know, I am the worst at it. I'm my own worst enemy. But it doesn't exist. So, and you're going to be great at different things at different times. And life is going to be great in different ways at different times. And sometimes it's not going to be great in different ways at different times. But it's kind of like, okay. And I think there's a, you know, I can't remember who, I'm going to butcher a quote. Back to that, nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. But more importantly, nothing is perfect. Striving for perfection, you'll never reach it. You know, we do it, that's personally, as a business. You know, I work for an amazing business. I love working for the business I work for. Are we perfect? No. Do we do stuff wrong on days? Yeah. And as a human, you're like that, but it's that ability to reflect, that reflection. I mean, I tell my team, I stand in the bathroom in the morning, brush my teeth, and you look myself in the mirror and go, right, what sort of day are we going to have today? Right, what have we got to do? We've got to do this, we've got to do this. You know, how do I feel? I feel pretty good. Okay, let's get after it. And then at the end of the day, when I'm brushing my teeth, I go, okay, what sort of day did we have? And did it meet up to the expectation? And, you know, generally, it does. But there's always stuff where you go, AI could have done that better. So that's on me. B, that could have gone better, nothing to do with me. Or C, I didn't feel great about that. Or that was amazing. So it's one of those, it's life is a kind of process of self-reflection. It's a kind of reboot. But it's, you know, and everyone has different things going on. And, you know, we have to embrace that by, back to that, leading with kindness. So for me in a business, it's important we lead with kindness. But we've got a business to run. We've got clients to look after. We've got colleagues in the business who rely on it being successful because it feeds their families. It gives them a nice lifestyle, whatever it is. So it's that getting that balance between kindness and softness is really important.
I think so too. I really do. I've got one last and possibly incredibly unrelated question.
Go on then.
But I bloody love that sign on the back of your wall. And not only do I love it, but Coffee Calm and Connection, it's the colours. It's the exact colours of the Coffee Calm Connection logo. Where did you get it from?
Google. So one of my one of my favourite songs is by Coldplay. And the lyrics are, turn your magic on, we can be legends every day. One of the first, like, I can't even remember what the song's called. But that for me is, okay. Let's turn it on today. Now, sometimes your magic's bright and sparkly, and sometimes you're lacking a bit of magic. But yeah, so that all stems from my kind of even during lockdown, I used to play this Coldplay song every morning, go, right, get up, get dressed. Invariably during lockdown, I used to do a bow tie bulletin every morning. So I put a bow tie on, and I did a bulletin to all the colleagues. And I used to play the Coldplay song before I recorded the bulletin, because it's like, right, Adventure of a Lifetime. That's the song. I knew I'd remember it. So Coldplay's Adventure of a Lifetime is a kind of theme song that gets me up. And doesn't matter what mood you're in, you put that on, you're like, okay, let's turn the magic on.
Well, I think we have the name of this podcast, and it's called Turn Your Magic On. Alistair, I'm really grateful once again for your time. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. See you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Your reviews, shares and followership is incredibly valuable to us. So please like and subscribe and share, and get in touch if you have anything you want to chat about.